We read from the Holy Scriptures this evening from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 13. Romans, chapter 13. Our text, with a view to applicatory, is found in the last two verses of this chapter, 13 and 14. We hear the Word of God in Romans, chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Here follow the words of our text. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Thus far we read from God's infallibly inspired word. As I said, our text is found in these concluding verses of Romans 13. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, even now, let us walk as in the day. Even now, though the day is not quite here, while the night, though far spent, still lingers, and the day, though it is at hand, still tarries, let us walk as in the day. That day, the day of Christ. The Apostle Paul has been speaking regarding that day to the church here in the context the day of salvation, a final salvation, and therefore the day of the perfect realization of the righteousness of the kingdom of heaven, when sin shall be no more, when death shall be completely swallowed up of life, when the darkness shall forever be banished by the light of God in Christ. It is the day of heavenly glory and fellowship and knowledge, when we shall see him face to face and shall know even as we are known. That day is near. Its dawning is the next event. The hope of that day must dominate our life, all our hopes, all our thinking and aspirations, even as we are still walking through the night of this present world, We must already put off the night garments, every work of darkness, and put on the armor of light. We must make no provision for the flesh to satisfy the lust thereof in rioting and drunkenness, in chambering and wantonness, in strife and envying. But we must put on the Lord Jesus Christ. For this is necessary, absolutely essential for a walk as in the day, as in that day, the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the apostle, in the immediate context, has been speaking of that hope for his coming that must dominate our lives, even as we are still walking through the night of this present time. He's spoken of the hope of the day of Christ's coming, that moment of our final salvation, which he says is near at hand. But now he comes, let us walk in that day, in the light of that final day. Let us live already now in the reality of that salvation. And if we are to do that, we must put off the old garments of sin and be clothed in the light. He comes with the exhortation to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in this light that we consider our text this evening under the theme, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We notice, first of all, the meaning, secondly, the manner, and finally, the reason. Certainly, there's a figure used in our text, the idea of changing clothing. We are to cast off, put off the old, the smelly, the dirty, the filthy clothing. We are to put on the new. The scriptures frequently use this language. We have, for example, in Ephesians 4, verse 22 and following, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So cast off the works of darkness. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. These words are speaking to us then of the Spirit's wondrous work of sanctification, holiness. That as God's children, we are not only forgiven of our sins, but we are delivered from sin's power. We are changed, transformed, made to be holy. The child of God, according to Scripture, who has been born again by the grace of God, who has been summoned to the side of God by his own irresistible call, who has been brought to true faith and conversion, who has been given to know the wonder of justification in the blood of Jesus, that child of God is also sanctified by the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit works within. We are changed inwardly so that the former things of sin now are increasingly loathsome unto us, and Christ becomes exceedingly precious. We always see those two elements, the calling to put off the old, to cast off the works of sin, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to put on the Lord Jesus Christ? It certainly implies that there is the strength of God's grace working within our hearts whereby we identify and know the works of darkness. We are mindful of the motions of our own sinful flesh so that we struggle against them. We do not live under their dominion, but rather we live now more and more out of that inward renewal of the Spirit in our hearts. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, is something which is deeply spiritual. It is inward and true. It's not simply external or superficial. Bear in mind, this word is addressed to the church, to those who by the grace of God have been changed by the mighty power of God's grace, renewed by His Spirit, been given resurrection life in Christ. Now we are called to live out of that new life of Christ which God has put into us. The point is that this is not simply an external thing, not simply a superficial reformation of life. That's the way much of modern Christianity presents it. They insist that people should simply imitate the teachings of that great man Jesus, try to follow his example. As we noted last week, preparation for the table of the Lord, and he would look at the Sermon on the Mount that way. Simply some wise, practical advice. That's all we need concern ourselves with, trying to practice the good, performing, loving deeds as Jesus taught. They would speak of putting on Christ as at the time of the new year, many people make certain resolutions. Some resolve which proceeds from one's own will and mind, just as we would seek to have a reminder, perhaps an armband in memory of a slain hero. They would argue that's what it really means to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not the idea of Scripture here. The Scriptures do not simply mean call to your memory the Lord Jesus, but it's referring to a work of God's Spirit within the heart, compelling us out of that love of God to live more and more out of Christ. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ is not simply to put on a pious face on Sunday, that we are present for worship, make a good show before the elders of the church and our fellow church members. But then we can leave pretty soon and put on a completely new appearance, a party face, become a different person as we go back to our daily life during the week. Oh no. To put on the Lord Jesus Christ is not an external show. It's not simply knowing what outward things fit with the Reformed religion, and then going through the motions, all the while never experiencing the transforming grace of God within the heart. It's not simply going through the outward motions. It's an internal, real, irresistible work of the Spirit of Christ within us, whereby we have a new will, a holiness, a righteousness. We desire to live out of that now, having been made alive by the grace of God. Moment by moment, that life is kept alive in us by His Spirit. And now we are called to live out of that, to delight ourselves in Christ as he is set forth upon every page of Holy Scripture. Our own flesh, of course, also has things in which it delights. The Scriptures refer to those things as the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life, calls them works of darkness. And the Apostle speaks of them here in terms of being rioting and drunkenness, chambering and wantonness, strife and envying. These are the things that our sinful flesh is attracted to. They're the things that by nature we think about and dwell upon, the things we desire, the things we seek after. Of ourselves, we would want to put them on. For those who are apart from the grace of God, of course, that is all they have. They put on those things. It becomes apparent in their whole way of life, their ways of wickedness and immorality. But a believer is one who has been given new life, the life of Christ, so that now there is a yearning to live out of Christ. And notice that the apostle holds before us our Savior in all of his fullness, in all of his beauty, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord. As Lord, Christ is the sovereign Savior and Master who has conquered our sin and subdued our death. He owns us because he has purchased us with the price of his own precious blood. He is Jesus, the Savior, the deliverer from our misery, our Savior unto the highest good. And he is the Christ, the anointed one of the Father, sent of the Father to do the Father's will, our prophet, priest, and king. And so the exhortation is this: as you have been created again by the grace of the Spirit of Christ, now live out of that in all that you do, in all of your thoughts and desires and aspirations, in every word that proceeds from your lips from day to day. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do we do that? Clearly, we have before us a call to battle, to the battle of faith, that ongoing struggle of our Christian life. We are called by God. We are summoned as his people to live as lights in the midst of this world of darkness. In all our life, in the midst of our homes, with our families, in all of our work, in our studies, in our fellowship, in the midst of the church, in our recreation and entertainments, in every aspect of our life, we are to reveal that we have put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How is that possible? Certainly not of ourselves. Only by the grace of God and in a life which is conscious of dependency upon that grace. And that grace of God working within us, what's the fruit of that? All of grace, does that cause carelessness? Does that make us lazy? Does that produce a worldly Christian? Does it make perhaps what we might call a chameleon Christian, One who is able to turn spiritual colors, reflecting the light of God on Sunday and then turning into darker shades of the world of sin on the rest of the week? Does the grace of God produce apathy, indifference, carelessness towards the spiritual things of the Word of God? Of course not. God forbid. The grace of God causes us from that inward delight, from that living hope that we have in Christ, more and more to walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in sinful debauchery, not in chambering, not in strife and envying, but the Spirit of Christ gives us to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to make no provision for the flesh. That's the manner. Make no provision to fulfill the lusts of your flesh. That's vital if we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word provision here in our text gives us the picture of a person who is making preparations, laying up in store, making allowance for future needs. A person who goes into the future, maps out, contemplates the needs he's going to have, makes preparations with a view to that, lays up provision. But our text is saying, in all of your considerations of what is before you, do not make provision for your flesh to satisfy the lusts of your flesh. Oh no. But rather, starve your flesh. Deny your flesh. For the flesh here refers to that sinful nature, that old man with which we are born, and its evil operations and its motions and its yearnings. It is called the flesh in Scripture because that sinful nature reveals itself through our body and our human mind and will. And that flesh has lusts, carnal cravings, which are contrary to our God. It has illegitimate wants, evil desires. And that flesh is constantly crying out, feed me, cater to me. Look ahead with a view to what I desire. That flesh makes a god of the belly in gluttony or drunkenness, rioting in excess, craving after physical pleasures. The flesh loves and deifies uncleanness and sexual immorality and filth. It wants to be amused in those things. That flesh is filled with greed and covetousness, with the love of money and possessions, living for earthly things. Those are the lusts of the flesh, the desires, sinful desires for fame, honor, power, the glory of man, self-seeking, self-advancement, envy and strife, as the apostle sets forth, malice, hatred, contempt for others. That's the flesh. Make no provision for that. No provision for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Clearly, Scriptures imply that we are yet in our flesh. And that flesh is still clamoring for satisfaction. The flesh stands, as it were, at the door of our hearts, loudly demanding recognition, presenting itself to our minds, trying to steal into our desires, pleading before our wills. And of course, there's the unbelieving world all about us. And that world makes provision for its flesh. For the world of unbelief, that's everything. The lusts of their flesh are more important to them than even their physical necessities. Why else would one drink himself to ruin or gamble himself into poverty? Why else would even a national economy go trillions of dollars into debt if it were not for the fact that man would make provision for the lusts of his flesh and insist upon his rights to fulfill the lusts of the flesh, satisfy his greed, maintain his own rights to do as he pleases, to do what is right in his own eyes, must be free to marry his homosexual boyfriend, free to enjoy his pornography, free to indulge in every evil passion, free to murder the unborn. The world has proven before us that it's going to store up more and more for the purpose of satisfying those lusts of the flesh. We see it increasingly condoned, even in our society, the wickedness, mind-altering drugs, increasingly available, legalized, opportunities to promote oneself through cheating and graft and scandal. There will be rioting and drunkenness and strife and envying. But let us look within. What about us? Make no provision for your flesh, beloved. That's why we are told here not simply to put off the works of darkness, but literally to cast off the works of darkness. Again, the Spirit knows us so well. He knows how it goes with us. He knows our sinful inclinations. We put them off, but sometimes we do not put them off so far that we can't easily reach them. We can be reluctant to put them away too far lest we lose them. We would try, so to speak, to put those things into a box or a cage so that occasionally they can be taken out and enjoyed and indulge our lusts, and then we can try to put them back into the box and put on the Lord Jesus Christ again. And so we don't get rid of those worldly books or magazines. We don't quit watching those worldly reality programs. We'll occasionally watch the godless movie. We do not break off the relationship with the unclean worldly friend. We do not forget and leave forever behind those sinful things. And so the Scripture says, not just put them off, but cast them away, throw them away, far, far away, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, as we have again this morning been fed at the table of the Lord, have we not purposed in our hearts to show true thankfulness to God and to walk uprightly before Him, then by the grace of God, let us be rid of those works of darkness, deny those lusts, oppose them, fight them, silence their clamor. Beloved, we are to do this because, according to the very purpose of our God, we are of the day. Let us walk honestly as in the day. And our walk, of course, is referring to our whole life as we live it from our hearts. Again, it's much more than just our external conduct, but it is our life as determined by our heart. And so it has a certain direction. And it's either going to be towards the flesh and the lust thereof, or it is pointed to Christ and righteousness and holiness, the truth of God. Walk honestly as in the day. Walk decently, literally elegantly, beautifully. Walk becomingly in the day of the Lord Jesus, in the consciousness that Christ is coming. It's a very beautiful picture the apostle presents, that we are in that day, the day of the Lord. Though it's not here in its fullness, we long for its final realization when Christ shall appear on the clouds of glory. And the light of that day has shone through the darkness of this world, through our own natural darkness. That light has broken in upon our own hearts so that we have a living hope that we shall be with Christ in all His beauty and glory. One day we shall be free from sin and have perfect fellowship with God. So now, as we are in that day, and as the light of that day has already shone in our hearts, let us live out of that day. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk honestly as in the day. That day is approaching. All the promises of salvation, of life and light and glory shall be ours perfectly when Christ returns. That day is approaching soon. Those promises will be brought to us in all of their perfection. The lusts of the flesh, which yet appeal, will vanish in that day, and all who will live in them will receive the everlasting judgment of God in the fires of hell. But ye who of yourselves are no different, ye who by the grace of God are of the day, and who have that light of the eternal day, even now shining already in your hearts, ye who long and hope one day to be with Him and to be like Him, to be conformed to all of His beauty, you must walk as in that day. What is our calling? As we are waiting for that day, as we begin another week of that pilgrim journey, whether we be young or old, adult or child, single or married, what are we to be doing? No matter our place and calling, whether at work or in the home, in our studies or recreation, in our calling in the church. Our God tells us, do not make provision for your flesh. Strive to banish every occasion and opportunity to indulge in the lusts of the flesh. Starve your flesh. Deny your flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Walk with God in His Word. That wonderful Word which is as a light upon our path. Read the Standard Bearer, good Reformed literature. Pray. Pray for grace and strength and wisdom each day again. Be busy in the life and activity of the church, in the care and help of your fellow saints. Look for the day when at last He shall appear and we shall be with Him. The Apostle John writes in his first epistle, chapter 3, in verses 2 and 3, these words, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. Amen. Most merciful and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word. Apply it unto our hearts. By Thy Spirit, we pray, that we may be manifest as children of the light as we go forth in another week of our pilgrim journey. We pray, Father, draw us ever nearer and closer to Thee. Strengthen us unto the battle of faith we face. Grant that by Thy grace we may make no provision for the flesh. Grant that we may live out of Christ to Thy glory and praise. Come, Lord Jesus, yea, come quickly. We ask it with the remission of our many sins. In Jesus' name, amen.